Israel for 40 years, King David went on to be with the Lord, and as he passed the kingdom of Israel on to his son Solomon. After Solomon had taken the throne, we are told that God spoke six very powerful words to Solomon. He said, "Ask what I shall give you." And so Solomon asked for wisdom, and we know that God granted his request. And so God gave Solomon wisdom beyond measure, and people traveled from all over great distances to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and we have it right here in our fingertips, God's wisdom that he gave to Solomon. And we would do well to understand the value of what we have right here that we can go to any time of day, any day of the week, and seek wisdom that is God's wisdom given to Solomon. And as we have been talking about, there's a certain pattern of things that we need to do in order to get the most out of God's wisdom. As that is the first part of that is to understand that this wisdom is valuable. It is valuable. We have to seek it out. We stand in awe of God. We surrender our wisdom to him. We receive God's wisdom and we put it into practice. We understand the value of wisdom. We seek it out, get wisdom, as the scripture says. We stand in awe of God. We surrender our wisdom to him to receive God's wisdom, and then we put it into practice, because it's no good if you do the first five without putting it into practice. We are on our fourth W as we look at the six plus one W's in the book of Proverbs. We've talked about wisdom. We've talked about work. We talked about wealth. And today we are talking about words. And as we do, let me reiterate that some of these prophets should be read and applied as wisdom literature presented in a poetic fashion. So it's a little bit of a different book than some of the other books in the Bible, kind of like when we go to the book of Revelation. You look at it differently because it's a different type of literature. And so certain proverbs shouldn't be read as an absolute 100% every time type of understanding. The proverbs that cannot be read that way are the proverbs that are describing a typical result from a certain choice or behavior. So you make this certain choice or behavior, the typical or the natural result is this. For example, a couple weeks ago, I shared that the typical result of natural of hard work is wealth, that you'll have something financially to show for your diligence. And in our notes, I use the phrase, the natural result of diligent work is wealth, possessions, and power. That's what the natural result is, as spoken of in the book of Proverbs, God's wisdom given to Solomon. But sometimes, as I stated, a hard worker doesn't get recognized or doesn't receive raises that he should or doesn't achieve the influence or authority that he should have come by through the consistent hard work. So the proverb is not a formula. We think in formulas so often. It's not 2 plus 2 always equals 4, as we're used to. But rather, 2 plus 2 should equal 4. 2 plus 2 most of the time equals 4. Under standard conditions, under typical circumstances, naturally, 2 plus 2 would result in 4. But sometimes that's not the case. So though it's typical or natural that this action, this choice, would lead to this result, it doesn't always happen that way. With that said, let me remind you that wisdom is still wisdom, even if you don't see results. And let me add the word yet. Okay, wisdom is still wisdom. If you work hard and you don't see results from it, it's not unwise to take the wisdom to work diligently. That's wisdom. Regardless of where it goes, it is wise to work diligently. The natural outcome would be to acquire certain things as a result of that. But even if you don't, the wisdom of Proverbs still stands as wisdom. So don't get discouraged as we go through these Proverbs. If you haven't seen the results that you read in the book of Proverbs, you might be on that small place where it doesn't happen. You might be in a place where it's not yet happened. But Proverbs is describing things that naturally would take place in just common circumstances. So last week we talked about the wisdom of wealth or riches, and Proverbs describes the typical result of applying wisdom that would lead to wealth and riches. That doesn't mean that all wise people will be rich. What it does mean is that the path to wealth, lasting wealth, is wisdom. That is true. And so We can't sit here and say, well, I'm not rich, so I must not be wise. No, you keep doing what the word says. You keep being wise. You keep following Proverbs. And know that that is the path, the only lasting path, because, and you know, we'll look around. And one of the other notes last week was about how wisdom will maintain wealth. Wisdom will keep wealth, and a fool will not. And we can look around and we can say, I see a lot of fools with a lot of money. It's only time. It's only time. They will eventually lose their riches. You will see the truth of that wisdom under typical results. So the second section of the notes that I had told you would be a great idea to use that as your devotions this week, those are not in the this choice typical result. Those are instructional proverbs. If you're going to have wealth, if you're going to have riches, here's how you behave. You honor God with your riches. That's not a little part of the time type thing. That's instructional proverb. So there's a difference, and it can get a little confusing. I'll do my best to try and separate those a little bit for you, because today we encounter a little bit of both as well as we talk about words. And so let me catch up to where I am. Yes. So most of the proverbs today are describing the typical result of a specific decision or action in regards to words. And we can see these a little better. There are some proverbs that we are talking about that will be more absolute on words. As we read some of these proverbs today, I want to let you know some of the verses up on the screen might not have the word words in it. You'll see synonyms for words, kind of like riches and wealth and treasures last week. So today you'll see things like speech or talk, because that's where words, that's where they're used. That's where they show up, is in speech and in talk. Or mouth, lip, or tongue, because those are devices in which we use to deliver words. So we're going to see a number of different words that are synonyms and all connected to that, just in case you're thinking, well, we're looking at proverbs on words, but you're talking about lips, but They're all right there together. So wise words. So write this down. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. God demonstrates this for us, doesn't he, in the very first chapter of our Bible. What does it say? God did what? He spoke. He spoke each of the 6 days of creation. His words. He demonstrated the power of his words. They're able to create all that we see, all that we can't study, that we haven't yet studied, that we can't see, that we can't understand. He created all that also with words, with words. And so we see how powerful his words are. We're made in his image. Now, I can't speak something into existence because I'm not God. You're not God. We can't do that. But we have to acknowledge that words have power. Words that come from our mouth, they have power. We see this in our faith. What do? When we want to accept Christ, we confess with our mouth that we believe. You confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, and you're saved. Confession is a big part of receiving, of accepting God's salvation for us. So our words are involved in an eternal difference in our lives. That's power. That's a lot of power. The Proverbs writer expresses many times over the power of words in so many different ways. The first way we're going to look at here is probably one of the more popular ones. At least across Proverbs, you can see the list of verses out beside your first note there, or second note there. And first note under these points that words are powerful, and that is that the tongue has the power to give life or death. And that comes from the proverb that speaks this very plainly. Proverbs 18:21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Basically just writing down scripture. Death and life. Jesus talks about murder in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says that anyone who insults his brother will be subject to the judgment by the council. And anyone who says to his brother, you fool, will be in danger of the fires of hell. This is in a section where Jesus is talking about murder. He says, you have heard that it was said, do not murder, but I tell you, don't even insult your brother. Don't even call him a fool. Don't say things to your brother that would belittle him or insult him, because Jesus understands, and he's trying to convey in Matthew chapter 5, the power of our words. Our words can bring death to a spirit, death to a soul. Not eternal death. When you use the word soul, I'm using the word soul as the innermost part of our being. And you can hurt someone's spirit. And Jesus compares that to murder in Matthew chapter 5. But the opposite is true, and the Proverbs writer captures both sides of this. That words can bring death, but they can bring life. Death and life are both in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 11:9, with his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor. So without God's guidance, without the guidance of God's word, without the guidance of God's spirit, a godless man could use words to destroy his neighbor. But by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. So on one side, the words can cause destruction, but on the other side, words can cause preservation of the righteous who know how to use words. It can be a form of life, self-preservation in a positive way. Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perversiveness in it breaks the spirit. So gentle tongue has the ability to bring life. Tree of life, a nice little picture of the garden. But we see that a perverse tongue can bring the kind of death that Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. That words can break a person's spirit. Words are powerful. Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Boy, isn't that true? Most of the time. We can do the most of the time there. Sometimes words aren't received even when they're presented as sweet, like honey from a honeycomb. And then they don't have the effect. But typically, words can be used in that way to bring life. That sweet words, gracious words, are like sweetness to the soul, to the innermost part of our being. And there's a, not to get into any kind of like deep psychological or psychology, you know, but there's a tremendous connection between our psyche and our body. And so as it can bring life to our soul, gracious words, that also affects the body. It can bring health to our body, as the Proverbs writer writes. That's powerful. Church, you have that. You have that ability with that mouth you've been given. That leads us to the tongue is in the note. That leads us to our next note, which is on the tongue. The tongue of the wise can bring healing. The tongue of the wise can bring healing. This is spelled out very clearly in Proverbs 12:18, where it says, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Rash words are like sword thrusts. We try to get up to the Renaissance Festival. I shared with you, I got a chance to take Jess, and we just went, the two of us, a few weeks ago. And the planets aligned, because when we went the first time, the boys were sick, and we were like, well, we'll just go without the boys, and because we don't know if we'll get another chance this year. We missed last year because of sickness. So then cross-country meet got canceled, and so we're like, oh, we have a Saturday now. So we went back up there yesterday. And so they've got this one barbarian, and it's called the Barbarian, so it's very barbaric. And they are in full armor, and they just beat each other. Like, for your pleasure. Like, it's just crack, 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 you know. Just maces and swords and axes. And you can hear them connecting with their armor and their helmets. And they'll wrestle and throw each other and whatnot. And it's just, it's all a big fun. You know, of course, they're giving each other hugs afterwards and stuff. So everybody's having fun. And they're doing their best to keep it as safe as possible. And then the last event, they call it a mugging. And two knights come out with no swords, but with metal mugs. Yes, and it's a mugging. And then they start adding in all the other contestants that competed. And so that this ring made up of 2x8s bolted together, not ropes. And these guys are all in there with frying pans and pots and metal chairs. It is pandemonium. And it's all this type thing. And then you go to a different stage and you see these two swordsmen with rapiers, long pointy swords. And they're not whacking like broadswords and axes and maces, but their idea is to what? What was the word we just read? To thrust the sword. The purpose of a thrust is not bludgeoning, it's to pierce. Words can pierce. Words can pierce. But on the opposite side of that, words from a wise person can bring healing. So words used like the thrust of a sword are meant to pierce and cause harm, where words from a wise person can mend and heal. You have the power of either side. How are you going to use your words? Another powerful thing that words can do is that words, kind words, can lift up. They can lift up and they can encourage. Boy, we could use that, couldn't we? And we're gonna connect with Proverbs 12:25 more than we would like to. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down." I don't have to do a show of hands to know. We connect with that. We understand that. That needs no preaching, translation. We know what that feels like. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. But listen to the simplicity of this. A good word makes him glad. Everywhere we look, we see all sorts of things that bring anxiety into our life and weigh us down. But listen, church, you have the power with your mouth, with your lips, with your tongue, with your speech, with your talk, with your words to lift up and encourage people who are pressed down with anxiety. To bring joy would be another way to translate that, to lift up. Another thing about the power of words is that well-chosen words, they find their mark. Well-chosen words find their mark. I only picked a few from this list to read to you. They're very similar in nature. Proverbs 16:21 says, "The wise of heart is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness." And that's not meant to be manipulation or to manipulate somebody. Sometimes we try to persuade someone of something that is good. Anyone in here who has tried to share the gospel with someone, isn't our goal to persuade them? When you're speaking with your children and you're trying to teach them wisdom and knowledge and how to behave and how to think, you're trying to be persuasive, are you not? There are plenty of other areas in our life, in our work, in our interaction with our peers, with family members, with church members, where it's very important to be able to use words to find their mark. And wise words, typically, we could even say wise words more than other words, find their mark. The wise of the heart is called discerning. The sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. And then a couple verses down, the heart of the wise makes his speech judicious. Makes our speech in a way that makes sense. It's logical. It's judicious. It's truthful. and adds persuasiveness to his lips. So in that we can see the Proverbs writer is not writing to abuse this. It's not manipulation. It's in the form of judiciously to be persuasive. Choosing your words wisely can help them to be more effective. They will find their mark more often. They will be more persuasive. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken, and I don't think I have this one in the PowerPoint. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. You can just think of that on a dinner table. It's pleasing. It's appealing. It's appetizing. So just the right word at just the right time can do great things, which is another powerful thing that we must be responsible with our words. Gentle words can turn away wrath. A lot of us have probably heard this, but let me remind you that this is in Proverbs. So gentle words can turn away wrath. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. We're just taking notes, just straight out of Scripture, straight out of the wisdom that God gave to Solomon. But a harsh word stirs up anger. This is a good proverb for us to file away, is it not? How often do we want to respond harshly with words? To lash out with our language, to use a sharp tongue in response to someone who has challenged us, or who has belittled us or embarrassed us. That's a difficult urge to fight. You might feel this way, and some of us might turn to sarcasm. We feel that softens it, that we're not being as aggressive. We're being passive aggressive, which is still aggressive. Correct? That wisdom was shared with me somewhat recently. And I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, that does make sense. So when you're trying to avoid being aggressive with your words and you're using sarcasm, you're still being aggressive with your words. So understand that. And that it would be better if we would use gentle words, that a soft answer turns away wrath. But when we come out aggressive, if it's aggressive or passive aggressive, however it is, that stirs the pot, that stirs things up. That doesn't get us where we want to get in a situation where we're trying to cooperate and communicate. In a study on words, we come across a couple of things that God hates. And this takes us back to our series that we ventured through, started early in the summer, called the Opposing, there we go. I got the wrong word started in my head. Opposing the Abominable. And it was a series on a section of Proverbs in Proverbs chapter 6. And it was about 6 things the Lord hates and 7 that are an abomination to him. And that list was 6 plus 1, which is where we kind of were inspired for the name of this series of 6 plus 1. So 6 plus 1 things that were abominations to God. And in those 6 things, those 7 abominations, we read that a lying tongue is one of those things. Let's write this down. A tongue of deception. God hates a tongue of deception. And all the things we talked about in that sermon on lying, I don't think I shared this, which is, I mean, there's always going to be more to share when it comes to the Bible. But the direct translation of that phrase is a tongue of deception. And we see this used in Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14, when he's talking about false prophets, that they are speaking in ways to try and deceive you, a tongue of deception. We also see this mentioned in Proverbs 12. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, saying nearly the same thing that we read in Proverbs chapter 6. But those who act faithfully are his delight. So this is one of those ones, if I can bring your attention to it, it is one of the 100% correct all the time. It isn't that, well, sometimes God doesn't hate liars. It's spoken pretty clearly in Scripture. God hates liars. He hates a lying tongue. He hates a deceptive tongue. because it's something that is unholy compared to his holy nature. That lying is the direct opposite of who God is. God is truth. Jesus came full of grace and truth. God's word is absolute truth. The truth of the gospel will set you free. Deception, lying, is of the enemy. It's of the devil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Another thing that God hates connected with speech is perverse speech. In Proverbs chapter 8, we read, "The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil are perverted speech. I hate." Now, if you remember last week, we talked about how there are a few different sections in Proverbs where Proverbs is personified, or where wisdom is personified as a woman. And chapter 8 is one of those sections. So when you go and you look at this, it's actually wisdom that's saying, "I hate perverse speech." But if we trace the roots, who gave Solomon his wisdom? God. So if God's wisdom is speaking, "I hate perverse speech," I think it's a pretty fair jump to say that that's coming from God. And we can also find that in other pieces of scripture, where in Ephesians, we read how any kind of corrupt talk or filthy or foolish talk, crude joking coming out of our mouths is unacceptable for God's people. We should not have any of that. So seeing this side by side also in this Proverbs chapter 8 passage where it talks about pride and arrogance. Pride is also one of the things mentioned in Proverbs chapter 6. That is God absolutely talking. So with all of that put together, I don't think it is a stretch at all to understand this as two things that God hates about speech. He hates a deceptive tongue. He hates perverse speech. So you know what I'm going to say next. It's the inevitable, necessary comment. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't use your mouth or your tongue or your lips that way. Don't use your words that way. Don't talk or speak in that way. Don't have a deceptive tongue. Don't have perverse speech. Another thing we see in Proverbs is that wise words are not empty of value. Wise words are not empty of value. And along with that, I have these two notes side by side. So you get the one side and the other side. A fool's uncontrolled words will result in his ruin. A fool's uncontrolled words will result in his ruin. Wise words are not empty of value. Proverbs 10:14, the wise lay up knowledge. So, that's substance, not empty. That's valuable. Knowledge is valuable. The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the fool brings ruin near. So not just to himself, but, you know, it's a proximity assault there on all those around. Wise words are not empty of value, but a fool's uncontrolled words will result in his ruin. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge. It's not empty. It has substance. It has useful things, valuable things in the mind of a wise person that comes out through his words. But a fool's uncontrolled words will ruin, or will result in ruin. He will pour out folly from his mouth. Proverbs 15:7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge. Not so with the hearts of fools. I like that one. I like the way it's worded. The lips of the wise spread knowledge. Not so. Not so with the hearts of fools. Proverbs 18:6-7, the fool's lips. I like the picture of this. I'm a visual person sometimes. A fool's lips walk into a fight. I just picture his lips, you know, like dragging him across. Isn't that funny? Because we think, you know, legs walk, lips don't walk. But I get this visual picture of a man's lips walk him into a fight. But we know, we've we've experienced this. We've done that ourselves. I mean, it doesn't always have to be, you know, bare knuckle, you know, fist fights. There are all sorts of different fights that we engage in. And if we would go back and look at a good number of the fights that we have walked into, we've walked into them with our lips, not our legs. So a fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. The word picture here is entertaining for sure. Our last note today is that the wise are careful and cautious with their words. The wise are careful and conscious with their words. Let's read a few proverbs about this. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous ponders. I just want you to get that. The pause was intentional. To pause. To ponder. How to answer. But the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The righteous know how to use the pause button. To ponder how they will answer. They are cautious. They are careful with their words. But the evil person pours out evil things without restraint. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Prudent is another word for wise. Whoever restrains his lips shows himself to be wise. Hit the pause button. Ponder your answer. Be prudent by restraining your lips. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. The wise are careful and cautious with their words. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life, Proverbs 13:3. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens his lips comes into ruin. One of those typical actions results in a typical result type of proverbs. Proverbs 17. This is one I included. I had a handful of proverbs already, but this one I included because I was like, okay, you guys are going to want to know where this is in the Bible, and it's right here in Proverbs. So just in case you wondered where the second part of this passage came from, it's right here. So whoever restrains his words has knowledge. And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. And then this verse right here, some of you might be familiar with. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. How many of you guys have heard that one? Okay. I want to remind you, here's where it is. It's in Proverbs. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Proverbs 21:23, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue, this is a good one, huh? Keeps himself out of trouble. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. That's not, silence was a word used a few minutes ago, but the understanding of these, putting them together, is this understanding of restraint, of being cautious, of being careful with our words. And it can do all sorts of good things for you. If your mom was anything like my mom, you might have heard this note. If you don't have anything nice to say, what? Don't say anything at all. That's not in the Proverbs. Whoa, man, he just like, psh, we're done. Thank you, sir. I think I gave you a difficult task today because I think I just had all the Proverbs. So he might have been bouncing around. So if it didn't seem as smooth, that was on me, not on him. So in our mothers, whether our mothers knew it or not, when they were sharing this advice goes hand in hand with some of the proverbs that we've read today. Now, sometimes we're going to have things that we need to say, but there are ways to say them. We have to understand the power of our words, that the tongue has the power to give life or death. We can't remain silent all the time, but we have to remember that we have to be careful and cautious with our tongue, because our tongue can bring healing. Our tongue, our kind words can lift up, they can encourage. Well-chosen words find their mark. Gentle words can turn away wrath. Must be careful and cautious as we use our words, because we understand that God hates a tongue of deception, that God hates perverse speech. We have to be careful, because wise words have value. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. We can curve that a little bit with all the Proverbs. That's good most of the time. But in the other times, we definitely need to use all the wisdom that we've learned from Proverbs today. When you have to say something, we can go through this list and say, okay, let's be careful with our words. Let's understand the power of our words. Let's understand what our words can do to another human, to their spirit, to their soul. And that can have evil and wicked and negative consequences, results. But it can also bring life and encouragement and peace. Wise words. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for giving your wisdom to us through the book of Proverbs, that you honored Solomon's request, that Solomon was wise enough before you gave him wisdom to ask for wisdom. I pray that we would grow from these wise words that have been written down for us, that they would help us to grow, to be better people, to be better members of your kingdom, to be better reflections of you. Help us to be cautious with our words. They are powerful. Father, I ask you that you would speak to us with your words right now to our hearts. Help us to know the areas that would be best to focus on the subject in our life. Lead us there. Guide our thoughts right now. Convict our hearts so that our words, our mouths, our tongues, our lips, our speech, our talk would all be more honoring of you and honoring of the people we speak to who are made in your image. People who you sent your son to die for because you love the world that much. We thank you for him, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.